Welcome to Category Leaders, where we go inside the minds of executives and innovators shaping the future of B2B growth. I'm Eli Grisserfidi, co-founder of Maya Digital, where we help B2B companies and executives build LinkedIn authority and drive life-changing opportunities. On this podcast, I sit down with founders, CEOs, and C-level leaders who are redefining their categories, the innovators turning executive presence into pipeline growth, competitive advantage, and market leadership. If you are a decision maker looking to scale your influence, attract top talent, and position yourself as the go-to voice in your industry, you are in the right place. Let's dive in. Hello and welcome to Category Leaders. Today I have Robert LaPlante with me, the CEO of Workshop Built. Hi, Robert. Thank you for being with us.
Hey, it's great to be here, Eli.
So to get started, I'd love to learn more about you, your background, what led you to founding Workshop Built, getting into brand transformation and growth strategy. Tell us more about what you do.
Well, first off, I should disclose I grew up in Canada. So I ended up in California when I started my first agency, which was in the media world. My background in Canada was working in the media. So in particular, in the ad sales department for a major media company up there. And in that experience, I learned with working with larger brands, you know, how powerful brand was. And I cut my teeth working with multiple different categories of brand leaders, which was kind of a luxury. But in the process of that experience, I also saw where there was a deficiency for others who maybe didn't enjoy the number one brand seat, who could benefit from learning about and bolstering their own brands. So that's where Workshop Built was born, was built on the idea that brand strategy is business strategy, and that other businesses could take advantage of building their brand and benefit in the growth of their business.
I have a few thoughts about that, and I think it's super important what you said. It's not, you know, just the brand that really talks about the business as well. But before that, what is brand to you, right? If we're talking about, you know, there's the personal brand and then also the company brand, B2B and the company levels, like talk about that more. I'd love to hear your perspective.
I think it's the simplest thing, and then the most misunderstood term is brand. I'd say probably second place to strategy, and those two things are used together so often, right? But brand really is just how you appear to others. Are you exciting? Do people get you? They understand your position, your place, your purpose. It's why perhaps it can be complex, because there's a lot of different dimensions to it. But in the end, it is a simple essence. You know, how are they impacted by your brand? Are they, you know, in the first place? But it is really about generating some kind of an emotion. And so I think because of the dimensions that go with that, it can be, you know, very overwhelming. It can feel complex to a lot of people. So that's part of, you know, why simplifying that makes a lot of sense, and fixing it makes a lot of sense, you know, because in the end, if you're not exciting, if you're not, you know, resonating for the things that you should, it's probably money on the table that you're leaving behind.
Right. And how are you simplifying it? How are you getting these founders and these companies to understand, you know, that it's not that complex, and that it's something that's worth for them to dive into? Because like you said, it's a lot of money that they're leaving on the table.
Yeah, it's like that saying, if I had more time, I would have written a shorter letter. It really does take a lot of time to think about ways you can remove complexity and simplify. And, you know, I've been at this 8 years now, and I think we're just getting to the place where we can feel confident about what we don't need to do, what we can focus on to make this land and to get people to pay attention and to understand it, frankly, because there's a lot of obstacles and forks in the road where things can get out of hand and you can go on the wrong track. So yes, simplifying it we've come up with a framework to do that where it's called Built Thinking. Basically divides up how to even start thinking about branding and what you need to do, so we can move the overwhelming pieces of looking at this from afar and seeing how daunting it can be, and just really focus on each step, you know, building a foundation, getting a vision, developing an experience, and then growing from it. So it's very foundational. It goes around this basic concept of building something up, and you can use the metaphor of building a house, you know, but it can be that simple. So that's where we really strive to do is bring some simplicity to it and remove complexity and give leaders a foundation that they can feel good, that they understand what they're doing and why they're doing it.
I love how you brought up, you know, the analogy of it's like building a house. We say the same thing as well when we're talking about LinkedIn and what we're doing and your presence on LinkedIn, which is also very relevant, you know, to brand is, you know, there's the foundations that need to be set, especially if we're talking about a organic and then moving to a paid side. Many people just go straight to paid before they have the concrete and everything set down. And, you know, even before that, the strategy and their brand, and really it all comes together. So I'm very much aligned with you on the house and how it's built and making sure that it's, you know, sustainable and long-term. Super great point.
Well, one part about why that works, but why it's also repelled sometimes is because the hard part is also the less exciting part at the beginning. Building the foundation is not where all the fun lies. So it's a bit of a prep work. And sometimes if it's a larger organization, it requires more stakeholders to agree, getting alignment on things. I mean, it's very interesting when you bring different people from an organization, whether it's a smaller one or a larger one, whether it's doing pre-revenue or it's doing 100 million or a billion, you're going to find there are different perspectives and views about what this thing is that maybe all these founders even share. So it's pretty enlightening to see how divergent the thinking is going. And this is especially the case when a company's been at it and grown somewhat, because in the process of that growth, everyone's got a different experience around how it's growing or what part they're doing in that growth. It's a challenge because if you're not really aligning, then you're going to have all these multiple perspectives out there, and it's really confusing for people on the outside. So this is the hard job of starting the brand foundation that we really focus on, is getting everyone aligned, and not only just by sharing their perspectives, but also seeing what, you know, external perspectives say. And that's really where you'll see some interesting expressions, because it is rarely not surprising, you know, what people hear and what they say.
So typically, Robert, you know, from what I've known and hear, companies usually don't invest in brand transformation until something breaks, right? Even if are initially going to the brand or even rebrand. From your experience, what are some of the earliest signals that a company's outgrown his brand or it's time to, you know, start building it? What's the real cost of waiting too long to fix it or to even build it?
I mean, I'll start with the last part. The expensive part is if what I just described, right, you have multiple perspectives. So even in the leadership or from your sales team or the marketing team, all have different ideas around what we should focus on or what matters or what we stand for. That's a problem. That's going to be an expensive problem to fix the longer it goes. Unfortunately, what does prompt this kind of decision making is the aesthetic, like, oh, our brand is dated or it feels tired, it doesn't look good. And believe me, they usually have a point from our perspective. I mean, we're half brand strategists and half design studio. So design and aesthetics matter in all of this, but it's not the thing, right, that is really costing you the most money. The thing that's costing you the most money is this kind of divergent viewpoint that people are having, that the external perspectives are not lining up, or even the leadership team doesn't even really sit on the same page. And fixing that's the thing that really, I think, can generate a real, like, first of all, like, it's a sea change, right? Once you get this right, it really does create a new energy for the company, because the brand now has something that everyone can rally around. And then going to build, you know, the vision and putting, like, the design to it and building an experience around it.
I love that once we have the alignment and we fixed it and we've gone through the brand transformation, how important is it for executive visibility to be involved to then take that brand and continuing amplifying the narrative?
Like whatever infinity percent I can put on that. Think about an organization being led by somebody who doesn't get the brand. It makes no sense, right? This is why I use this term a lot. I'm like, brand strategy is business strategy, because I want to demystify what brand strategy is. And that's the other confusion in here, the strategy part, right? It's like misused probably as much as brand is. It's really just about making decisions in the end, right? So if business strategy is brand strategy, then our business matters. We want to grow our business, then our brand is a key piece of that equation. So getting that right, and the strategy part is really just making decisions about what we are, what we aren't. And this is sometimes another difficult place where you'll find a lot of consternation, hand-wringing, you know, disagreement. But it's healthy. And once you have that discussion and people can make their claims or stake their positions, we can understand, you know, what really matters. Data comes into the fold during this process, you know, internal data and external data around how companies are perceived, how brands are seen, but also what are people actually doing, right? What are they buying? What are they not buying? You would be amazed, even from the perspective of a CEO or a senior team, they would have perspectives or be influenced by data that's not really supporting the claims anymore because of growth. I mean, it's not because they're wrong or they're not doing their homework. It's just we don't take the opportunity to sit down and reflect like this often enough. So brand transformations, they're an excellent opportunity to take stock and to think not just about how we look and feel, how we sound, but are we doing what we set out to do? And does this make sense for the growth of the company?
Right. And if we take the business part of it, when we're talking like the business strategy, how should the C-levels, the CEOs, the CMO, how should they be thinking about their personal brands or their business brand? Like, how are you getting that to tie into it? How do they see that as the extension?
Well, so with everything that has to do with the company, right? How we present ourselves. You mentioned personal brand. So if the CEO is out there, right? How's that line up with what the company that CEO is leading? Do those things add up? Do they measure up, right? So this is, again, it's a really excellent opportunity to take stock of how we communicate with the world and how the world perceives us. Sometimes you'll see those things don't align. And it's not because it's a hard fix. I mean, sometimes it's the easiest fix. And believe me, just thinking of a name, sometimes a company starts out with a product and then that company becomes bigger and the brand grows with it. But the name just doesn't line up anymore. And it's because it has some specific moniker in it that we can just drop. You know, and then suddenly all this possibility, all this potential emerges. You know, to your question, if you don't sit there and take stock of this, if you're not looking to see how you're viewed, perceived, what you're saying, does it measure up? Is there a simple kind of North Star, you know, that we're really concerned about as a group? These things are easy to figure out. There's a little work to do it, but you know, like I said, most of the time when you're focusing on growing the business, it's not that that you're thinking about.
You probably hear this a lot, and I'm sure you've had lots of conversations with your clients, with the executives, or hearing about their conversations between themselves. Probably one of the biggest debates is proving brand ROI, right? And that ties in also into like the business aspect. What are some of the things? How are you helping the leadership teams connect it and get them to understand that, right? We know it. We also see it in the work that we're doing, which is very much connected to LinkedIn and branding, is these things take time in the long term. So how are you getting them to be more educated and have a different perspective on that end?
Yes. I mean, there's always going to be, and it's healthy. Believe me, we want to measure the impact of our brand, especially if we're investing in brand. How do we do that? For every organization, it's going to be different, but there are always metrics that count. You know, whether it's in earned media or how we're attracting people to the website or to a certain program, how we appear, you know, in terms of our competitive set. There's always measurements. I mean, measurements are great. And sometimes we just don't pick the ones that matter. And I think that's another place where, you know, when you do this kind of exercise, that comes up in terms of what is success and how does that look once we're done this, right? And it's different for everybody. In some cases, it could be, like you say, it's the last kind of crisis, you know, it's that we're trying to get over. And or if we're really proactive, it's just that we recognize that we've outgrown where we're at and we want to address it. In both cases, it's easy to understand what the future state should look like. If we're going to claim success, it might be, you know, these figures change or this dynamic changes and we measure it this way. But I love the idea of just getting that out of the way early on, defining success, right? And it's just another way that makes my job super easy. When we get in a session like this, I could just ask that question and just let the room go. And it might be a day before we get to solving it, you know, because some of this is therapeutic as well, just so we're clear. I mean, bringing people together that are always together but never talk about this is an interesting dynamic on its own. And it's kind of therapeutic because you get to hear things just by asking prompts and questions that we're not used to handling. You get to hear perspectives that you're surprised by most of the time. And when that happens, it's healthy to just discuss and learn.
What's one of the most surprising things or misconceptions that you've heard recently?
Well, I've sat across from a couple leaders, COO, CEO, and just hear how they both think they're generating revenue for the business, and to hear how divergent their understanding of that was. And then even more so when we discuss how we're going to expand that potential in the future. So, you know, their perspectives are coming at it from different places, one of more like the customer and the other one more from the perspective of just like black and white numbers. And there's a reality that unfolds in that discussion. And it is almost jarring in some cases, like, wow, this person believes this, and that person's like way off on an island in their understanding of how that's happening. So when you bridge those gaps in understanding, good things happen, though, and pretty quick. You know, when people get taken off guard, especially the people we work with, I mean, they're bright, they're drivers, they're A personalities, they're growing important organizations. They appreciate the new perspective, and it brings them kind of like another tool to the table to be able to perform. So it's very healthy.
Yeah, it really also ties back to what we were saying before about like the alignment. Like, it really shows like having the alignment and recalibration of expectations, then it really allows us to, you know, create a common level, have that understanding of what the benefits are. And really, when it comes to brand, it's something that needs patience and long term. I think a lot of behind it, especially if we go to like the human psychology standpoint, is that really the relationships that you have with the company or with the brand or with the executives or the people there behind it. And behind every brand, there's people there. And to build that trust and to build a relationship with them, even if it's a friend, right? That takes time. You may have a good interaction with them, but it's not once, right? You need to have something that's more cohesive and more holistic. And that's where your brand appears, or where your brand can show up through its leaders. And, you know, that come back to the executives, and you have the alignment from there and how it trickles down.
Yeah, I would add on to that. So all this is about just meeting people where they're at or where they want to be. So if you think about a brand and, you know, how does that impact the relationship of maybe a prospect and a company trying to generate an opportunity or a relationship that's a business transaction? Well, meet them where they're at. People have expectations, they have needs, they have worries. And if the brand puts itself in between those issues, you can be very relevant to that person, right? Or that organization. And that's how we should think about brand, is just who do we serve and why, and get us in that equation where we're going to be seen as a very sensitized kind of reference when someone comes across us and they know we can help fix the problem, solve the challenge, you know, address the pain, whatever it is. But this is the key. And that's where the emotional aspect of a brand is misunderstood. If you think about that, if someone has need and they know you are an authority or have the ability to solve that need, it's going to make you an important piece of the equation.
Right. And I think having said all that, was something that's often overlooked, and I'd love to hear if you see it as well, if you think differently, is in the end, your brand also has to be visible. Like you said, you need to meet them where they're at, and still we see it too many times to where they're not necessarily amplifying it. They'll put a lot of effort into the strategy or to how it looks. And it's like, what are you doing after? Yeah. How are you getting it out there? Right.
Yeah, well, this is the other issue we come across. I mean, the brand strategy, it's sometimes, you know, like an inch thick PowerPoint that's printed out in someone's drawer. And it's great to have all of that, but I would say that work isn't done, right? If you have all of that and it goes in a drawer, it's very useless in the real world. And that's really where this idea and approach to brand that we're taking, I think, shines, because that is not your deliverable, right? You don't go in the world with that. I don't know who can communicate in 1-inch PowerPoint with 100 slides and expect it to resonate, right? But if you distilled that into a page or a couple pages, you know, but the ideas were really clear and they were powerful. Imagine the difference there. And then, you know, everyone can get excited. And this is the point I always like to remind people of, is especially in those early days when we're doing the foundational work and it's the strategy and the discovery and kind of like reviewing data points and trying to make sense of like where we're at, it can get a little bit hairy, right? It can feel frustrating too, because in all these instances where I'm describing where people are coming together and realizing that they're way off or they're not aligned, the emotion is not elation, right? It is, it's a bit stressing, but the fact that you're addressing it and what you come out of it with is where I have to remind them this is going to change everything. I mean, for the better. And it does. It really does. I mean, the impact of getting this right and going out to market with a unified voice, a simple idea, and that kind of clarity, it's a game changer.
I love it. As we look to wrap up, Robert, last question. I'm curious to hear your thoughts. What do you think is more important, product or brand?
I think they go hand in hand, and they should be always inextricable from one another. You can't have bad one of either and expect success. So I would leave it with that. You know, it's almost like a symbiotic relationship. You know, you have a great product, a lousy brand, you're leaving money on the table. You have a great brand and a lousy product, you're alienating people. So fix them both.
Right. Yeah. You want to keep their trust and make sure that they're having a good experience, that you bring them in, and then you have the product that keeps them in and that they're aligned. So making sure that you have the alignment on both ends. Right. Awesome. Robert, thank you for your time. For listeners who, or anyone watching this, if they want to learn more about you and your work with Workshop Built, what's the best way for them to reach out or to follow?
Follow me on LinkedIn. That's the place where you'll find me and sharing thoughts or showing off some of our latest work. Or check out our website at workshopbuilt.com. You can get a good sense of the type of work we do, our method, how we approach things, and go from there.
Awesome. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks, Eli.
Thanks for listening to Category Leaders. If you are a B2B founder, executive, or leader with a story worth sharing, I'd love to have you on the show. Head to categoryleaders.team-maia.com to apply. Found value in this episode? Here's how you can help. Share it, take a screenshot, post it on LinkedIn, or send it to someone who needs to hear this. And if you know a leader who should be featured, tag them. I'd love to connect. Please subscribe to Category Leaders so you don't miss the next conversation. You can also connect with me on LinkedIn or visit team-maia.com to learn more about what we do. Thanks for being here. See you on the next episode.